Hello, hello, everybody. I'm Lexi Lombard, your host of the Alexi Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Last week's episode was super casual, stream of consciousness. The week before was a little bit more guided. We talked about financial freedom, specifically as a young female or a solo entrepreneur. And I'm just here to hang as a friend. It's August, we're peak summer. I just want to chill, you know? And I drove to the studio feeling a little zonked, and then I got here, and I'm over halfway through a sparkling green apple cherry Celsius, and I also saw that there was Swedish Fish and Friends in the studio. So you had Swedish Fish and then watermelon turtles and strawberry dolphins. So I had a package of those. And I'm on a sugar high right now. I really feel so energized. The last several weeks coming to the studio, I don't know what it is, but I haven't felt on my A game. I haven't felt sharp until about 10 or 15 minutes through the episode, but I'm here at the studio right now, focused, alert, fearful that I'm going to potentially start vibrating. Have you ever had so much caffeine that you feel itchy and you're vibrating? That happens to me when I drink Celsius or pre-workout. Normally, I can only handle half of a Celsius, and I've already had my morning iced coffee, and I'm over halfway through the Celsius, so I'm fearful for my heart, but excited for these energy levels. I'm truthfully not sure what my caffeine tolerance is, because I can drink a coffee and take a nap without batting an eyelash. However, I have one too many sips of a Celsius, and I cannot stop doing jumping jacks. It really feels like a thin line, and I don't know why. Coffee doesn't seem to impact me very much, but other forms of caffeine certainly do. What's up, everybody? How are we doing this week? What are we thinking about? What are we interested in? I want to do a Q&A today, like a pretty dedicated Q&A. Obviously, if you're a familiar listener, if you're a regular, I'll spend the first half of the episode discussing my desired topic, giving a little catch up on what's up in my life, and then spend the second half of the episode answering your questions. I want to chat with you more than I feel like hearing myself talk or thinking in my own head. I'd rather just get straight to the questions. So I'll keep my little life update brief. I've had a fun time. One of my friends from Paris has been in town, so we have been hanging out pretty regularly, and it's been really fun. I missed her dearly, and I'm having a great time. Her and I have a really fun relationship. And then I had another one of my friends from New York. Actually, she's a hometown friend, but then she lives in New York when I lived in New York, and she still lives there. It does not matter. The point is, she came to visit all the way from New York City for 3 days. I'll take what I can get, but I definitely wanted her longer. That being said, we jam-packed those days. It was four of us. So one of my friends and I here in LA each have a friend back in New York that are friends with each other. So one friend stayed with me, one friend stayed with her, and the four of us had a little girls' trip. Woke up, did Erewhon. They wanted to try the smoothie, so they certainly did. There was the Hailey Bieber smoothie, the short and sweet Sabrina Carpenter smoothie. There was another one that tasted like a blueberry pie. I don't really know what that one was, but that was sampled. Also, we went to Community Goods, which is a popular little coffee shop in West Hollywood. Got the matcha, got the latte. Then we went to the Grove. We had ourselves a very West Hollywood morning. Then we went to Market Venice, had cocktails, had dinner. Then went to a friend's birthday later that night, came back home, drank wine on the balcony with some friends, and called it a night. Next day, wake up, make a nice breakfast. I've really been cooking. I go to the farmer's market on Sunday. I never thought I'd be that girl. I love it. It seemed overwhelming at first, and I think that's because I was used to the amount of food that my parents would buy. Which sounds silly, but I feel this obligation when getting produce to get a lot of it. When in reality, I get maybe one leafy green, one vegetable, a couple fruits, and a cheese and a meat for the week. Proud of myself for cooking that many meals. So anyway, I'll get to that. We made a nice breakfast. I've been doing a soft scramble, Parmesan on top, some chives. I've been making a ton of salads. I'm trying to get my greens in. I really am. And I've been very creative with the salads. I also have discovered this strawberry vinegar that pairs really nicely with olive oil. With a little salt and pepper, it's a simple dressing. Oil and vinegar, can't go wrong, but this strawberry tastes so good for the summertime. It's incredible. It's so good. I'll insert photos so you can really see the types of things I've been cooking. I'm getting more creative with my yogurt bowls. I really make them filled with seeds. I did try this TikTok trend where you use freeze-dried fruit and pour milk over top, and it's supposed to imitate Fruit Loops or Fruity Pebbles or Trix, any of those fruity cereals. And I tried it the first time, wasn't obsessed. I've had probably 4 or 5 bowls since, and I'll add pumpkin seeds, chia seeds, maybe some walnuts, a scoop of yogurt on top. I've evolved this recipe and I really enjoy it. Then we went to the beach. We went to Malibu. It was perfect. It was a beautiful sunny day, which June gloom, May gray, even the lingering June gloom throughout July. Going to the beach has not been very sunny. It has not been the bright blue skies that the valley and the east side and downtown and even Beverly Hills are experiencing. The west side has been gray. And so, you know, friends are in town for 2 days. They obviously want to see the beach. Fingers crossed it's good, and it was. So that was great. We played games, we ate snacks, just chilled all afternoon at the beach. Then it was time to go home, shower, get ready for dinner. We went to a Mexican restaurant for dinner, had a pitcher of margaritas, beans, rice, guac, corn, the whole enchilada, as they say. And then we went to another birthday party, this one was prom themed, which was sweet. There was a photo booth. No, it wasn't a booth. It was like a photo station where you could go and take prom like photos. And that was in the neighborhood, so that was nice. And then Sunday, farmer's market. We went to what my friend was referring to as downtown Silver Lake. And she was referring to the little strip in Echo Park that has Despair's Books, Canyon Coffee, the little lingerie shop, rodeos, and did that. Hung out there, got a coffee, got a book. I tried to be a good host, you know, make her feel busy but not overwhelmed. So then we spent the afternoon chilling. She took a nap. I've been watching Hacks. Another friend is staying in my apartment with me, and she's been here for the last like week or two. She showed me Hacks. I've heard of Hacks. My other friend was really telling me that I would enjoy it. I have not been this impressed by a TV show in, I could not tell you how long. I love the show Hacks. I love it. The writing is impeccable. It's funny. The timing, the casting is so good. I really have fallen in love with all of the characters. I just began season 3. I don't know how I powered through this many episodes. This is my issue with TV. I don't like to watch TV because I don't have self-control with it. I need to keep knowing what happens, so it will take over my life. It hasn't fully taken over my life the way other shows have, and I'm really enjoying it. Whereas sometimes I'm definitely watching a show just because I need to finish the show. Which, life's too short to watch a show you don't want. Life's too short to read a book that you're not enjoying. I wish I felt that way. I wish I acted that way. I have to finish. It doesn't matter if I don't like the book. I'm going to finish it. It's hard for me to abandon projects. This is why I've been on social media for the last 15 years. I think my YouTube channel, I had a meeting with an SEO marketer. I don't know what his title would be. Doesn't matter. He was like, oh, you started your YouTube channel in 2009. It's like, yeah, 15 years, buddy. When I commit, I commit. I commit. So we relaxed and then went to John and Vinny's. Went back to the beach before it was time to take sweet Helen Ann back to LAX and drop her off, which was just, I don't want to think about it, but it was fun to have her. It was brief but magical, and I loved it. I try to be a good host. I have not mastered it. For example, I have this tradition, Monday night dinners at my house. The last 2 dinners I've had, I have not had enough food, And I don't know if that's because I've been to so many dinners where there's so much waste, and I've been guilty of wasting so much food before. And this was quite the opposite. You really need to have a good balance. I think there should be a little leftover. I think that's a good place to start. People should not be leaving hungry. And I had 2 weeks where I was like, they're being really nice. But if I were them, I'm still hungry. But that's one aspect of hosting. I still haven't nailed that. There's, you know, hosting for an evening, I like hosting a pregame. I like hosting a small gathering, a dinner party. I've never been the one to host huge parties. I like having, you know, max 15 people. I wasn't throwing the bangers at my house. We've had, in my 2 years living in this apartment, 3 bigger parties. My favorite people to host are the ones that are coming specifically to visit me. So for example, my friend this weekend, she was flying to Los Angeles to see me, and that's so special. And because she took, oh, so sweet, she took time out of her life to come across the country to visit me as a friend is so sweet. So obviously I want to be available to her and make her weekend the best possible weekend. And then the second hosting scenario that I love is when a friend needs a crash pad. They have a life, they have a schedule, they're gonna be pretty busy. I'll see them a little, but more or less they're just trying to save money on a hotel or avoid having to spend money on a hotel. That's fine. Come in and out as you please. I'll give you the spare key. We can get dinner one night. We can hang out at home. I'll see you when I see you. No obligations required. They're just using the apartment as a crash pad. The worst hosting scenario in my mind is the person that wants to use your place as a crash pad because they have to come to your city or town for some reason. Maybe they have a meeting. They have, who knows? But they don't really know their way around places, and then they end up not being very busy, and suddenly you have the obligation to host them in a larger way than you anticipated. You're here for a week and a half and you only had plans 2 days, and so now I'm reconfiguring my typical schedule to make you feel more comfortable. That's the most stressful. You know what? Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, that hasn't happened in a while. Overall, good week, good weekend, good summer. I've been in California for my whole summer and it feels nice. I really like it. And I'm going to spend the entire month of September in New York. So there may be a little hiatus to the podcast, which in that case, I would love some time to reconfigure, come back as a new season, take the month or so off, because I want it to be fresh. I want to freshen this up a little bit. Obviously, this is my diary and I love you guys and I don't want to leave you hanging. But improvements are always fabulous, right? Who doesn't love a little improvement? I was so heavily looking forward to going to New York. But now I don't want to leave California. I don't want to. I'm really enjoying my time here, but it's best to leave on a high note. Okay, that's my spiel. Let's get into your questions. I ask every single week on Instagram. My handle is Lexi, L-E-X-I-E, just like the name of this podcast. So let's get into it. But first, a word from today's sponsors. If you have hormone imbalance, clap your hands. A lot of us have it. You know, we're girls, we're learning more about hormone health every single day, every single year. And I love that we're finally getting this information because knowledge is power. And if this is something that's been on your mind, Happy Mammoth has a supplement called Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony has been marketed initially to women going through menopause, but it is not just for women going through menopause. It supports hormone balance, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels. It promotes healthy weight loss, curbs carb cravings, improves sleep quality, helps with irritability, enhances the body's adaptation to stress, and supports mental function. It's free from gluten, dairy, soy, and sugar. It's non-GMO, and there is a 60-day money back guarantee. So for a limited time, if you want to get 15% off your entire first order, go to happymammoth.com and use the code Lexi, L-E-X-I-E, at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Lexi for 15% off today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. so you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
First question from Sam, how to be photogenic? Practice. The more photos you have taken of yourself, the more you're going to begin to identify, oh, I like how I look when I'm turning this way. Oh, I like my smiling face. Oh, I like my soft smile. Just have a couple comfortable poses. Then you have the action shot. I think it's nice if you're uncomfortable in front of the camera to have a prop. Your bag, pockets, a drink, you're holding something, a book, maybe you're holding flowers, you're holding, I think a prop or an action shot can be a lot more comfortable than just a, what do I do with my hands? Whereas if you have a drink in your hand, you have a book in your hand, you're holding a bouquet of flowers, it makes it a little bit easier to navigate posing. Same thing with an action shot. You're lying down on a bench reading, you're walking, hiking, hugging a friend. You know, a little bit less awkward than standing, posing, pouting, smoldering, smiling. But when in doubt, smile. That's how I feel. That's my philosophy. Especially if that's how I'm feeling happy, I'm just gonna smile. Like my dad, for instance, he'll be looking so cute and then we pop out the camera, instantly he just freezes. You know, he's like, he just looks scared in photos. King, you were looking so good 2 seconds ago. You should just smile for it. But I understand some people are a little uncomfortable in front of the camera, but practice makes perfect. It's genuinely a skill. When I see my friends who are actual models get in front of the camera, I wish I should have one of them on to give a lesson because it's angles, movement. And another thing that I learned is I always thought the more relaxed you are, the better it's going to look, but oftentimes it's more uncomfortable, sharp angles. But those are technicalities that I'm not fully aware of yet. Jukia JPEG asked, would you ever do ayahuasca? Absolutely. Absolutely. Monica Faya asked, how do you walk the line between following trends and staying true to your own style? I have so many items in my closet that have been in my closet for years and years and years. Yesterday, I was wearing a pair of shorts and my friend asked me where I got them and I'm like, I don't know, sometime back in high school. If a piece is good, I like how it fits, it's comfortable on me, the color is flattering, whatever the reason I have for keeping the piece, I'm going to keep the piece. I'm going to keep the piece. And from that, my collection of pieces over time and really fun outfits come out of styling a piece that I've had for 7 years with a piece that I've had for 4 years and a piece that I've had for a year and a piece that I got a few weeks ago. It creates a nice culmination of my own personal style over time. Now, how do I walk the line between following trends and staying true? I think you can absolutely stay true to your personal style and follow a trend because some things that you enjoy just happen to be trending right now. Like polka dots, they're really having a moment. Polka dots are cute though. It's not something super obscure that's a really easy example. But I think of my childhood when I see polka dots. I think of my mom when I see polka dots. I'm not thinking, oh, this is so 2024, even though it also will be. But there's definitely trends like the pants that have the G-string tie. Those are super trendy. That's fun. That's hot. But that's not a timeless piece. That's more tapping into a trend. But if you like it, that can still be part of your personal style. Like that's something that you like. There's a Venn diagram there of things that you enjoy and things that the public is really highlighting and spotlighting right now. And as long as you're not always looking externally, which is interesting to think about. I was looking at my Pinterest board the other day and scrolling through my home and scrolling through my style. Obviously, within those pieces, those were the ones that I picked to save. But even still, there was definitely a funnel of what I was even being shown. Because I look at the things I was saving in 2020 and 2021, especially in home, it was all those Scandinavian Copenhagen pastel, bendy candles, pink coffee table, swoopy mirrors and things, and then it became very chrome. Everything was brutalist. There was also a mid-century modern, and I do like all of those things, but there was definitely a funnel. I wasn't being shown mid-century modern furniture when I was looking at these pastel pieces, and I wasn't being shown chrome when we were seeing more of these gothic pieces, you know? So I even find myself guilty of it because we're being filtered information. And sometimes the easiest way to find your personal style is like within your closet and then add pieces as necessary. So I understand how you're like, oh God, maybe that actually wasn't my own personal preference, but it was your personal preference within what you were being filtered. Of course, the easiest way to avoid that is to spend less time online and on your phone. It's a balancing act, but I think it's actually pretty easy to avoid unless you're really stuck in the social media loop. Ooh, Ella asked for a dreamy Santa Monica weekend itinerary coming from London for work. Okay, you should go to the proper hotel, maybe get a little drink there, get a coffee, work on your laptop if you have to. You get a little frozen drink at Elefante, watch the sunset, you go out either for dinner or go out dancing at Market, which is in Venice, which is right next door to Santa Monica. If you feel like socializing, if you have some coworkers that want to go out and mingle and do something really crowded, Penmar is a Friday night sunset music hangout event. It sort of feels like a youth group for some reason. I don't know why, but that could be a fun option. Obviously, go to the beach. You could go to Will Rogers. It's a little bit less crowded than Santa Monica. It's a little cleaner. You obviously could go to Malibu. That's a little bit farther, but still definitely something you could get to from Santa Monica in maybe like 30 minutes. And from there, I would put in the Malibu Country Mar. You could go to Taverna Tony's, which is a great Mediterranean restaurant. They have a great dip. You could go to Cafe Habana there. Get margaritas, get a little Mexican food. If you want steak au poivre, onion strings, french fries, then you should go to Lucky's. So depending on what you're feeling, a little Malibu beach and dinner moment could be great. Those are my recommendations. And if you're feeling really healthy, you could go to Venice Run Club and go on a little run with a bunch of people. That could be fun and social and really good for you. But that's aggressive, potentially. It's a lot easier to get a frozen cocktail and watch the sunset, but choose your own adventure. Steak Freets 27 said, I'm in between jobs right now and applying is grueling. How else can I use this free time to be happy? The curse of being in between jobs is you're living with a layer of stress of not having a job, when in reality, this is the most beautiful free chapter that you have, but the stress is masking any of that freedom. So you can either put your head down, make it your mission to get yourself a new job, or you can look at your finances, see if you have enough savings to give yourself a few weeks, maybe a couple months if you're lucky or more, and go pursue a real interest that has been calling you from inside the house and give that a chance. Give yourself a chance to be and explore. Maybe that's going to the beach. Maybe that's taking a vacation. Maybe that's taking a class. Maybe that's taking a course. Maybe that's going on a retreat. I don't know what it looks like for you. Maybe it's independent time. Maybe it's group time. Maybe it's hosting. Who knows? But if you can eliminate the stress or give yourself an allocated amount of time to explore while you have this little moment, this little sliver of time. But if you know that you will just be stressed during it, then I would say just keep your head down and keep applying. Oh, E. Mealy Weird Illustration said, I've been listening to your old New York episodes during COVID times while waiting for the new episode. How do you feel like you've changed since starting the pod in a fun way? Like in a fun personal growth kind of way. I began this podcast in November of 2020. So it'll be 4 years in November, which is wild to think about because this has replaced YouTube. Okay, how have I grown in a personal way? I don't know if I was like this before, but I don't speak with filler words. And I don't know if that's a chicken or the egg situation, that podcasting was comfortable for me because I don't use very many filler words, or if I've stopped using filler words because I host a podcast. So I'd have to go back and listen to see if I'm like that, but I'm really comfortable speaking. But I've always been comfortable speaking, but I'm even more comfortable now, I should say. My work ethic has improved greatly. I'm a lot more responsible than I used to be. I'm a lot more timely than I used to be. A lot more reliable and trustworthy with my work than I used to be. I was guilty of having a sponsored post and needing an extension, but that also comes with age, I would think. How else have I grown since 2020? I mean, unfortunately, my mom passed 5 months after this podcast began. So when I think of November 2020, I think of the short time I had before losing my mom. And then I think about the last few years, and a lot of that has been grief and recovering and understanding life now without my mom on earth, which has been a long journey. I'm really proud of myself. I handled it with grace, and I'm going to pat myself on the back. I haven't handled every bad experience I've had with grace, but I've handled several of the big ones with grace, and I look back on my responses and I'm proud of myself for how tasteful and classy I was during these scenarios when other people may have been ruder, crueler, or even petty. This show has given me a deeper connection with my audience. This and then now in conjunction with Patreon, I've never felt closer to you guys. And oh, my little complaint. Let me have a complaint for a second. I hate SEO. I had a meeting with this SEO person and my brain does not think that way. I love that this is a diary style podcast and I can communicate freely and I can title episode things like reading my diary, should I shave my legs for my mother's funeral, my 48-hour boyfriend. And those are cheeky, fun titles. That being said, when it comes to YouTube, now that I have a video element, I'm trying to think more strategically. And how do people do it? How do you do the strategy? Blows my mind. These girls with their hooks and their marketing and sales skills, I wish I had it. It feels like a different side of your brain that you're using. I was complimented by my management recently. My engagement time is really high. Apparently, most TikToks, the average listening time is maybe 2 or 3 seconds, and mine is averaging about 27 seconds. So once people are clicking, they're watching, which is fabulous, but the discoverability is limited. And I also learned during this SEO meeting that for the videos, 100% of the views are coming from subscribers. So there's no one new that's watching this. So I'd like to take a leap of working in the world of SEO and trying a couple strategies just to see if it helps grow the podcast. Because as a solo podcast host, it is a little bit more challenging. I don't think it's impossible whatsoever, but it's a little bit more challenging to promote episodes when you don't have a guest on to say, guys, I was just on this podcast. But personal growth in the last almost 4 years, I feel really good in my skin. I feel confident in myself. I feel a lot more comfortable with myself. My 20s, especially my early 20s, were a little awkward inside my body. I don't know if it's because I hit puberty late, but I've really evened out and feel more and more comfortable in my own skin and with myself every single year. Pat on the back to me. Tara Alyssa asked for my favorite piece in my closet right now. I found this dress at Belle the Label. It's gray, it's mesh, it's sexy. I wore a bra and little skimpy panties underneath. I loved it. It felt very Paloma wool. I also love my Prada kitten heels. Those have been a staple for a long time. Anytime someone asks me if my house was burning, what would I grab? I know that's not my answer, but that's always the first item I think of. I'm like, oh, those little green kitten heels. Love those ones. My little black Prada bag. It's not even real, guys. My friend got it for me for my birthday 2 years ago. And my friend who owns the real Prada bag saw it and was like, oh my God, you got one. I was like, this is fake, actually. And I own three fake counterfeit items. Only two out of the three were gifts. And I wear two out of the three of them very often. But it's finally hitting its last leg. Like, it's starting to peel off. And I'm wondering, do I get the real one? I don't know how much the real one costs. The fake one costs like maybe $45. Prada black bag. It's $3,250. Is that real? This one. Oh, no way. $36.42. Oh, good gracious. I have to do the math. 3,250 divided by 36. I could buy 90 knockoffs. That, I can't even get into this industry because I was even hesitant to say that one of my most worn items is counterfeit, which there's a whole culture of rich girls here with counterfeit bags. It's really fascinating, actually. I did not realize that a lot of these very wealthy girls I know that either come from trust funds or just wealthy parents, they have a lot of nice items and a good portion of them are actually knockoffs. I did not understand how many of these girls are actually holding fake bags and fake wallets and fake shoes and getting things off of DHgate and I forget the other ones. That I've never seen before. Obviously, I remember Canal Street, and there's people in New York selling them just on the street, but I didn't realize how many people held them. That was something I've learned recently. But anyway, that bag is one of my most worn items. Ashley M. Nelson asked for the best activewear brands. I love Fabletics. They fit really nicely. I like their capris, their biker shorts. I also love the flared leggings. I have a pair from high school that are Under Armour. They've been through thick and thin. They're in great shape. There's also a brand called Lucy that I don't know if it still exists. It used to be at the Fairfax Center in Virginia. Lucy workout clothes. Aww. I guess it doesn't exist anymore. This keeps happening to me. There was a brand that sent me their tank tops called the Foundationals, and I had figured because I wear this one all the time, I should order more. Go on the site under construction. Okay. All right, I guess I won't. Thankfully, I have this red tank top. And then I just wear tank tops or t-shirts. I've yet to find a sports bra that I really like. My favorite bras are from Skims, but I've never tried one of their sports bras. I don't know if they actually have any, but I haven't met a sports bra yet that I've loved. Also Aritzia. I feel like Aritzia's got some good stuff. Yeah. I don't know, because as I was saying, before doing this Pilates thing again, I spent almost the last year rock climbing, and when you're rock climbing, you can wear denim. You can wear real clothes if you want to. People wear cargo pants because you'll get scratched up on the walls. So I would wear just so many different types of things. So now that I'm back in actual workout clothes, I'll just wear random tank tops and stuff that I've gotten at the thrift store, just collected over time, souvenir shops, whatever. And then lately I've been wearing the Fabletics leggings. Mady Armstrong asked, ways to save money in New York City in a savvy, cunty way. Okay, go to the dive bars, obviously. Or, even better, get a bottle of wine and drink at the park. Cheap way to drink, as opposed to getting $25 vodka sodas. Do your hair yourself, do your nails yourself, or go naked. Shopping is way overpriced in New York, and a lot of things are picked over. Even Goodwill. I remember the Goodwill in New York City had like a $15.99 rack. And I just thought to myself, Manassas Salvation Army could never. I really would utilize the parks. You can lay in the park all day. Get your friends to come by. Also, if you're in a central meeting spot, friends will come by, leave, other friends can come. And y'all can just play games, play cards, drink beers. Easy, breezy, social, fun, low cost. If you want to go to karaoke, you could go to Winnie's. I feel like that was pretty cheap. Dumplings, those are pretty cheap. And those are fun and cunty. Dollar Pizza, nothing cuntier than that. Rhea Rowan asked, what are your must-have groceries? Okay, so let's go through my groceries for this week because this has really been a fun whole new journey and I'm eating more vegetables than ever before and more minerals and vitamins are getting into my system and it's great. Okay, so this week for leafy greens, I got frise, which is a gorgeous green, and then I got some arugula, and then tomatoes are in their peak right now. So I purchased a big heirloom tomato that I'm going to slice up and put on bagels with cream cheese and flaky salt, and then I have little cherry tomatoes that normally I don't like, but because they're so sweet and in such a good time of year that they taste amazing, those are great in salads. Then I get snap peas. Snap peas, I'll cut up diagonally, add to a salad, or just snack on them. No dip or anything, just raw dogging. Then every week I buy a cream cheese of my choice with Dave's Killer Bread Everything Bagels. I will also go to the meat and cheese market and I will get a cheese. There's a cheese man there that knows his stuff. I'll tell him I'm cooking burgers this week and he'll give me the right cheese for that. I'll say I'm looking for something a little softer that's spreadable for crackers but also good in salads. He gives me the recommendation. So I did a goat's cheese this week and then another cheese. I don't know what it was called or what type of cheese it is, but it's really velvety. Oh, it's gorgeous. It's delicious. I normally will get one or two meats. I have a friend staying with me and so we've been cooking together. So we're doing chicken thighs and salmon this week. So last night I marinated the salmon in olive oil. Actually, I did sesame oil. Doesn't matter. Lemon. And then I did paprika, thyme, hot honey, salt, and pepper. Then I oven roasted that. Also baked some potatoes. And sweet potatoes actually pair really well with arugula. So I chopped up arugula, put those on top of the mashed sweet potatoes with some sriracha. Had that. I've been getting eggs at the farmer's market. And the eggs come from the happiest little chickens. Unless I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid, but I've been told that they can stay a month in or out of the fridge, which my eggs, now when I make a soft scramble, they're so bright orange, it's beautiful. So I'll do a soft scramble where I mix the eggs and then I'll cook them on a low medium heat and then I chop up chives with Parmesan on top. I always get a ton of berries. I love to snack on berries. I'll at least get a carton of strawberries and a carton of blackberries. We have a couple nectarines. Those are also great as a snack or to put in a salad with some cheese, snap peas, frise. Oh, so good. I've been buying ground beef and I'll make burger patties, caramelize some onions for them, toast the buns. That's fun with some corn on the cob. So summery. I'll insert photos. I already said that. Didn't I say that at the beginning of this episode? I'm loving cooking. But I still am mastering meat. Next week, I want to get a flank steak and do that with sort of a Worcestershire marinade. Do some potatoes. That feels a little bit more fall or winter, truthfully. So maybe I'll do something else. I also want to make shakshuka. Shuka? You know, in the sauce with tortilla chips? That sounds good. I've been in my cooking grind. I love it. Toucan Sam Smith. Always love to answer a question from you. Do you envision where you'll live next or just enjoying the now? I was thinking about that exact question on the drive this morning. I was wondering when I'm going to move because I would love to have a podcast studio in my house. I would also love to have a guest room. And I don't know what the most financially savvy way is to do that. Should I get a one bedroom and then make the living room my workspace? Should I get a two-bedroom, have a workspace / guest room? Should I keep a roommate and rent two bedrooms in a three-bedroom? I'm not sure. Or keep where I'm living now, which is a great area, great space, great roommate, and then just drive to the studio here. I would like more space, though. I would like more space. But rent in Los Angeles is high. And the only other place I could see myself living right now is in New York. And that's even more expensive. And I would have an even harder time finding what I want within my budget there. So I don't know. I don't know what to do. I'm not sure. So I'm just going to be saving up money in the meantime so I can at least afford to do what I want when I've decided. Annalise asked, how did you heal your relationship with food? I've been following you since the vegan days. Wow. Wow. Different world. Different relationship I have with my body. For those that don't know, I moved to Los Angeles when I turned 18. I had recently discovered that veganism helps the environment. I was convinced that I was going to save it. So I decided to go vegan. I also decided to get off any medications that I had been on. So I got off birth control. I got off Vyvanse. That may have been it. My hormones spiraled out of control. And then I discovered Freely the Banana Girl, who was a very famous and controversial YouTuber at the time. This is 2014. And she had an incredible body, okay? Visible abs, teeny girl. She was eating a diet that she called Raw Till 4, and that was a subgroup of a vegan diet called the High Carb Low Fat. So she would eat a high carb, low fat vegan diet that was only raw foods until dinner. And her meals were things like 10 dates in coconut water blended up, and then she would go on an hour, 2 hour long bike ride and then have 12 peaches for lunch. I hear myself when I say it, but I drank the Kool-Aid and was in so deep. I thought that this was not only the way that I could save the world, but I would look like a Victoria's Secret model doing it. And then for dinner, she would bake potatoes. She would slice up potatoes into wedges, bake them, and then wrap them in romaine lettuce and dip them in ketchup for dinner. And I did all those things. I did all those things. I would have 4 bananas for breakfast and 6 bananas for lunch. It was nuts. My skin was not great. It was not only a very restricted, socially isolating way of eating, it also was not very healthy for the daughter of a diabetic who already had insulin resistance and hypoglycemia to be eating like that. I was brainwashed, though. I was brainwashed. And now, I mean, if the way that the answer that I just provided for what are my go-to groceries, if 18-year-old Lexi heard me say that, she would be so furious at me. She'd be like, how dare you even think about getting a flank steak? How dare you eat a chicken thigh? How dare you get cheese? And on top of that, do you know how bad for you that all is? She would be disgusted in me, but here I am, 28, great skin, great digestion, healthy relationship with food. I can't believe I did that. I cannot believe that I did that. I ate like a freak. I had the weirdest diet, and I was convinced I was saving the world. Convinced. If 18-year-old me saw me now, she'd be like, you have an American eating disorder. You are being brainwashed and you don't know it. On a genuine note, I'm actually not sure how I started eating meat again. In the way where I had mentally decided how foul that was. I don't know if just my body was so receptive to it that it allowed me to continue eating it, but I was disgusted by it for many years. I was vegan for maybe 3 years, 3.5 years. And I was so, so, so nervous to tell my YouTube channel that I was no longer vegan. But I was truly on the brink of an eating disorder. I had very disordered eating habits and it was not okay. And it was not healthy. And the sacrifices I was making were taking a real toll on me personally. And I needed help and I didn't realize it. That's the girl I want to hug. I don't look back at my 7-year-old self and think like it's gonna be okay. I want to hug my 18 and 19-year-old self and hug her and tell her it's gonna be okay. That's the one that I worry about. My 20-year-old self, I want to hug her. I was fine as a teenager. I was fine as a child. It was that early adulthood where I look back and I'm like, oh, that's when you really struggled with yourself. That's when you were the most insecure. That's when you were the most unsure. That's when you were the most angry. And I want to hug that girl and tell her it's okay. You figure it all out. And it's, figure it all out. We're always figuring it all out. But you figure out this aspect of it. And it's all much better now. I could go into that more in the Patreon episode because I know that food is a very personal topic and a lot of women deal with unhealthy relationships with food, whether it's based on a sense of control or based in needing to appear a certain way or wanting to look a certain way. But there are times in life that it's like, you don't need to live that way. You don't need to live that way. And for me, veganism was definitely the closest I ever was to that whole thing. Oh, girl. Oh, girl. Oh, but the question is, how did you heal your relationship with food? Oh, okay. You know what? I'm going to answer how I healed my relationship with food in Patreon because it is a more personal story, and I don't want to give that away so publicly. A lot of us have had an unhealthy relationship with food or struggled having a healthy relationship with food, and this is something I've never talked about publicly, and I'm happy to, but I think I will do that in the extended episode of the Patreon because it is personal and it involves people that I don't want to out, you know? I'll put a link to it in the show notes if you're not already listening to this episode on Patreon. Carolina asks, top three books that have felt like a hug to your soul. Love this question. First one coming to mind, What I Know for Sure by Oprah. It is the sweetest, warmest book. You have her saying, I don't know a lot. Who knows what is actually out there? Truths are so individualized and it's hard to know, but these are the things that I know for sure. Reading this book tastes like drinking really homey wine by a fireplace. It's so beautiful and so tender and so heartwarming. Anne of Green Gables by Ella Montgomery. Maybe you read it as a child. It's worth the reread. It just had me smiling and it was warming my heart. It's really a tender story. It's a sweet, sweet story of an orphan who's adopted and, oh, little Anne, she's so cute. She's so cute. It's really, it's simple, it's sweet. And it has a good sentiment. There's good lessons in it. And the third one is Signs by Laura Lynn Jackson. If you've had any loved ones that have crossed to the other side, they have left Earth, this is such a tender and thoughtful book on how to interact with your loved ones now that they're not here in the same way that you're used to. The first half of the book is stories communicating with people from the other side. And then the second half of the book is how to build a language, your own language, with those people through signs. It's a really special book, and it warmed my heart. And on that note, I will leave y'all here. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to know about my dicier relationship with my body and food, I'll get into that on Patreon. I'll have a link for it in the show notes if you want to listen. Other than that, I will see you guys here next week. Thank you for watching the video or listening to the podcast. Leave me a review if you feel so inclined. That would be so sweet. Okay, guys. Take care. Thank you so much for listening. XOXO, Lexi.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.